I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Never occurred to anyone in a confirmation, a judicial confirmation hearing, to ask the question, will you recuse yourself from criminal cases involving the president who appointed you? Because, of course, it's never happened in history. But here we are. And here the country is watching this grotesquerie of a Trump-appointed judge leaning in every way she possibly can in favor of the man who appointed her to her judgeship, the most glaring and poisonous conflict of interest you could ask for in a federal courtroom, because it also contains now this dynamic of her judicial future if Donald Trump were somehow to win the Electoral College again, which is obviously dangling in the air there in its totally obscene way.
Obscene. Now, you might think that was Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC talking about the Fannie Willis case. No, he's talking about another case involving Donald Trump. We're going to get to the Fannie Willis decision in a moment, but I want to lead off this hour with a review of this Donald Trump case that appeared, his case going before a district judge that, yes, he did appoint Eileen Cannon, and of course confirmed by the Senate when he was president, to be a U.S. district judge. He had a motion to dismiss his classified documents case. The judge shot down his motion. Despite everything you were hearing from Lawrence O'Donnell, the judge canceled and shot down Donald Trump's motion to dismiss the case. But that's not enough. It's not enough in the view of the leftists. You can't just deny him that. You've got to really persecute him over and over again. That's what they want. They want a pound of flesh each and every time when it comes to Donald Trump. All right, we'll break it down for you. But first of all, again, glad to have you on board. Second hour of two of Larry Connors USA. We're here Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch. Go to Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter, or News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. I think most folks use the Rumble platform, but you choose and use whichever one you want. And we're also probably popping up on other platforms as well. Not YouTube. YouTube does not like what we do. Like we really give a rip, huh? But aside from that, if you cannot watch now, but you still want to watch later, or you can't listen to the program in its entirety now, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And you will find podcast, audio, and video, so you can catch up. And when you do, please share it with someone else. We're going to need everyone aboard this train as we move to November. Everyone. All right, so the case they're talking about again is Trump's motion that was arguing the Espionage Act is unconstitutionally vague when you apply it. The Judge Eileen Cannon held a day-long hearing yesterday and in the end rejected the motion to dismiss his classified documents case, especially when it came to the Espionage Act. She did state that some of the arguments presented warrant, quote, serious consideration, but then added that no judge has ever found the Espionage Act unconstitutional. So see, that's what's upsetting the liberals. She's looking at case law saying that there's never been a case where a judge has found it unconstitutional, which is what you're complaining about. So I'm not going to dismiss it based on that. But some of the arguments warrant serious consideration. In other words, the door is not totally shut. There's a crack open. Can you squeeze that through the next time? It might work. The very fact that she suggested that, liberals are pulling their hair out and setting it on fire even before they pull it out. Here's an example of one of those appearing on MSNBC, legal analyst Andrew Weissman.
This was the worst possible outcome for the government, because if the judge had simply said, I agree with Donald Trump and I find that this is vague and I'm dismissing it, the government could have appealed it to the 11th Circuit, as they have done twice before and won twice before. And that is something that this judge is trying to avoid at all cost. But she also did not want to rule in favor of the government. So what she did is said, you know what, why don't you bring this up later? I think there's some real issues here. And so she sort of flagged that. And there will be a lot of complications if she deals with this after a jury is sworn in this case, because that is the key moment where double jeopardy attaches, and there are various legal consequences to that. So this is the worst possible decision for the government.
And therefore, they don't like it. If you don't get the judgment you want, you don't like it. I think that's pretty common. Not going to say that's something special. Now, Andrew Weissman is a former assistant U.S. attorney. And that's his evaluation, that leaving that crack door open and almost suggesting to the Trump team, come back for another bite at the apple, he's saying that was wrong in his view, because she should have been able to see the case in their eyes, just like how the libs want to read the Constitution. They only see the part they want, and they want to take it out and rewrite it. They don't want to stick to the way it's written. And I'll give you another example. Here's another analyst and a former prosecutor as well that appeared along with Weissman and Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC. This is Neil Katyal.
And my fear, Lawrence, is that this is going to be a win for Jack Smith in the same way as, like, the win will be once the Supreme Court decides the absolute immunity case that they're hearing on April 25th. I think there's no chance the United States Supreme Court is going to side with Trump on absolute immunity. But the court, by having such a delayed schedule, gave Donald Trump what he wants, which is a very realistic possibility he can delay the case past the election. That's basically what Cannon has done here, too, kicking the can down the road.
Kicking the can down the road and giving Trump what he wanted, and that was a delay. Now, you heard him mention the Supreme Court case is to take up next month Donald Trump's claim for, as president, I should have immunity from some of these charges. And we'll see how the court comes down. According to that legal source, he sees no way the court's going to agree that Trump can use executive immunity under these cases. Well, I don't know if he's got an inside path or he's just guessing, or maybe he'll end up being right. And even then, regardless of which way the decision goes, will it be unanimous or more likely a split court? And, of course, who goes which direction? And then you have another one of these analysts. You can, again, just like you were listening to Lawrence O'Donnell in the beginning, you get the impression they speak with authenticity because they have a law degree and they are smarter. This one being Bradley Moss.
Judge Cannon's failing to meet the moment here. Look, this is going to be one of the most monumental cases she's ever going to handle. There's been a number of cases over the last decade, all tied up with, you know, Donald Trump one way or another, where judges have had to put their name in a moment in history and say, here's my view on the law, right or wrong. Here's how I'm assessing it. She keeps punting. She keeps bobbing and weaving, trying to push it off onto somebody else to make the tough choice. She's trying to push off some of this into potentially being a jury issue, making 12 12 ordinary Americans try to evaluate things that lawyers far smarter than me argue over every single day, and that was going to stick it onto a jury. This is her job. She's going to have to rule on this as a matter of law, or she's going to be putting way too much burden on this jury.
So the jury of appears common citizens would not be smart enough to make a decision. That's what you're saying. I'll bet if they came back and said, yeah, Trump is guilty of everything, you'd suddenly say, oh, they're pretty informed. That's how that game is played. We all know it. For both sides. Now to the ruling involving Fannie, Willis. And this one is not being criticized as much as Judge Cannon's ruling, or lack of, is the way they see it. But here's how CNN reported it.
So the top line here is that the judge has ruled that the district attorney, Fannie Willis, can continue on this case against former President Trump and over a dozen other defendants. But he does address this issue of an appearance of a conflict, because the big question here is whether there was an actual conflict. The defendants were alleging that Fannie Willis, you know, not only that she had this romantic relationship with the lead prosecutor on the Trump case, but that she also benefited financially. And he had to decide, the judge had to sort of do this analysis. Is it enough that this just looks bad, that there's an appearance of a conflict, or did they need to prove, did the defendants, that Trump and his co-defendants need to prove that there was an actual conflict? Now, again, I say that DA Fannie Willis can stay on this case, but it also appears that the judge is saying that this appearance issue needs to be addressed before this can go forward. So this appears to be a pretty nuanced ruling, but the headline is that the district attorney and her office can stay on this case.
So the judge is saying, and this is more confusing to me than what you hear from the analysts regarding the court ruling by the other judge on Trump. The judge is saying she can stay, but the special prosecutor, which basically put her case together, he has to go. Now, if the judge had decided she cannot remain on the case, then they got to throw out the entire office, her entire district attorney's office, and bring in another group. Well, when she first brought the suit, she was looking out across Georgia and saying, anybody out there want to join me in this lawsuit against Donald Trump? Let's get together and get him. And not one other Georgia prosecutor came forward. They didn't want to be wrapped up in that. So she was going to carry out this vendetta on her own. And I say vendetta because when you look at the background of what's been going on between her and her special counsel, paying him $600,000+, and him in turn taking her on various cruise trips and things of that nature, does that not smell like a kickback? Hell yes, it does. And I don't understand how the judge can kind of just waltz past that. Although Alan Dershowitz had an opinion as to why he did it. And I'll let you hear that in a moment. I'll tell you about it. But before that, the bottom line is, apparently, the decision, if you listen to CNN's evaluation of the judge's ruling, Fannie Willis didn't really benefit.
This finding is by no means any indication that the court condones this tremendous lapse in judgment or the unprofessional manner of the district attorney's testimony during the evidentiary hearing. Rather, it is the undersigned, the judge's opinion that Georgia law does not permit the finding of an actual conflict for simply making bad choices. So this is pretty significant. I mean, he is suggesting that she had a tremendous lapse in judgment, that she was unprofessional when she testified. Remember, she was getting pretty contentious, pretty fiery with the defense attorney, insisting that she was not on trial when, in fact, they were asking her questions because the judge was assessing whether she needed to be disqualified. And then also saying here that she made bad choices. And look, even though she's going to stay on the case, all of this, especially this language from the judge, and we're just skimming the opinion right now, I'm sure there's likely more, it's really a gift to former President Trump and his co-defendants, because they're not only going to fight this case on the merits, they fight it in the court of public opinion. Optics here matter. He has tried to undermine trust in the justice system. And if you have a judge who's overseeing a case, calling the prosecutor, again, unprofessional, saying that she made a bad decision, she had a lapse in judgment, that is a lot of ammunition for the former president and his co-defendants.
And let's look at some of the things that were presented to the public that we all know about, that the judge had to be considering, and he just kind of walked past it. The judge found that even if conflict of interest was not proven, the appearance of impropriety applied because, quote, a perceived conflict in the reasonable eyes of the public threatens confidence in the legal system itself. And yet he said the remedy is not disqualification. In fact, he said to remedy the appearance issue, which was caused by the relationship, one of the parties had to leave the case. And he found that the prosecutor could stay, but her lover, special counsel, had to go. And then you have the issue that was brought up. Remember the cell phone data when they were showing something like 12,000 texts between Willis and Wade for more than a year before they said their romantic relationship began, and then she turns around and hires him for the job? Is there not enough reason there to raise questions about that? And the judge himself gave a previous decision during an interview with WSB in Atlanta yesterday. He said, I want to convey, quote, no ruling of mine is ever going to be based on politics. In a prior interview, he said he looked forward to discussing the case with his kids when they get older. I'm looking at that time, looking them in the eye and telling them I played it straight. I did the best I could. His kids are 5 and 3 now. Well, Alan Dershowitz said, no, we already saw Miss Willis perjure herself and conspire to commit perjury with Wade. Why is the judge making this ruling? Well, because the judge didn't have the guts to say it. I predicted he wouldn't. That's because he has to live in Fulton County. That's the opinion of Alan Dershowitz, law professor emeritus at Harvard. Then you get Eli Honig, who is another CNN analyst, and said, the judge even admitted something smells here.
The big takeaway, Fani Willis stays on the case. The DA's office keeps the case. The case can carry on. That is far and away the bold headline. They have survived, but not without substantial damage. I mean, there is some really stark language in this ruling. The judge calls out the DA's, quote, tremendous lack in judgment, the odor of mendacity. He says that the speech, the public speech she made in the church was, quote, legally improper. And the judge even says in the ruling, it may be time for a gag order on the DA because she keeps on making improper public statements. He leaves it out there. He doesn't say I'm issuing one, but he raises the possibility of a gag order on the DA. I mean, look, there's gag orders on Donald Trump.
Right.
Because we collectively fear that he may be tainting the jury pool, and now the judge floats the same possibility. So the DA's office has survived. The case survives. It will roll on. At what pace, we'll see. But there's some damage done here.
There is some damage done, and he said the odor of mendacity, the basic meaning of mendacity is untruthfulness, lying, which would fit perjury, and yet the judge still decided we can let the case continue. So his 3 and 5 year old kids, when they get older, he's going to be able to look them in the eye and say, I did everything by the book and I did it properly. Ignoring all the rest of this stuff, Judge, I don't know how you can really look them in the eye and say you did it exactly right. But again, you and your kids have to live in Fulton County. That I understand. Before this hour is over, does we have a DOD contract being given away? And also Josh Hawley. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name. Or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details. Or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
I'm chasing tail lights, straight as a crow flies, hunting just a standard country road. I've got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload. Son, I know what you've done, there's only one way to outrun me. You better pray.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I can't believe that you would come to this committee knowing this. You know about this. I've written to you about it. You know all about it. And you come here unwilling to answer and suggest that it is wrong of me to ask you the question. Quite frankly, Mr. Secretary, I think that your performance is despicable. And I think the fact that you are not willing to provide answers to this committee is absolutely atrocious.
And atrocious, I would say, is a very polite word that Senator Josh Hawley was using regarding Alejandro Mayorkas, our Department of Homeland Security Secretary. It is more than atrocious. And he was referring in that question session, we're going to get more of it for you in a moment, as to what do you do about members of your own DHS staff who write nasty things about our government or people that seem to be conservative or Christian? Are you punishing them? Are you going after them in any fashion? And what about those who are here as legal migrants for a period of time, maybe going to school on a special visa, and they want to get out and shout genocide to the Jews? What do you do? What are you doing about it? Should they be staying in the country? Should you not consider deportation? We're going to get into that in more detail, but let's just deal with the basic issue of where we are. We know our country's being invaded. We know that. And again, the other day, the beginning of this week, I had Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation, an expert on immigration and homeland security, say they are now believing we have 1.9 million gotaways. And among the 1.9 million gotaways, we do not know anything about them. They certainly did not go through one of the common checkpoints where Border Patrol will process them, take their name, give them a parole application so they can just then go and roam about the country as they choose and then report back to a court date 6+ years down the road. So why would they want to avoid making that direct contact? Because they have something nefarious in the stage of planning. Could be a terrorist act. Could be just the fact they're gang members. Could be they're bringing in more drugs. Could be they're smuggling more kids while others are going through the checkpoint and occupying the Border Patrol agents at that location. Look at it this way. If you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but here it comes anyway. If you were a terrorist bent on destroying this country from the inside out, would you not be using this open border right now, coming in massive waves? And would you want to make sure that you're not seen and detected? Because we have already caught, I don't know, the last check, 200 north of the number of 200 of known terrorists who are on no flight list. So they don't fly in. They have to walk across the border, and we're catching them. But then we're having others. We had boats the other day that are pontoon-type boats that are used to come out of Mexico up into California and escape that point where they could walk across the border in San Diego and basically into the USA, and they'd be processed, no big deal. It's a sanctuary state. But these guys are taking boats farther up the coast of California, then going ashore, then rushing into the suburbs or wherever to disappear. And then we have the legitimate claim for asylum will come from Haitians who are coming here because trying to get out of what's happening in their country. It's a bloodletting everywhere. Heads being chopped off, gang war constant. But there's our Venezuelan gangs that have been released from prison down there, and now they're trying to get in the U.S. FBI has sent intel around to every police department, knowledge of these gangs and the tattoos they will bear, but they're changing because they know the word's out. They're telling some of their people, don't get your tattoo now. Wait till you get into the States because they'll be looking for that kind of tattoo or change it up so it doesn't appear to be the same. But the Haitians that will be coming, already Florida Governor DeSantis also putting up extra troops along his southern border, the Keys and so forth, to make sure that we don't have boatloads of Haitians coming ashore because we, again, are they gangs, thug members, or are they just people trying to escape the violence in Haiti? Just because a country is facing issues that create a need for asylum does not mean everyone leaving really wants asylum. They just want to carry the violence to your front doorstep. So what about these folks who are here in the country and they're making remarks that are basically calling for genocide? Here is where Missouri Senator Josh Hawley was taking Mayorkas apart again on that phrase. And when you hear this play out, we all see right through you, Mayorkas. It's like you just are so stupid.
You're familiar with the chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Are you familiar with that?
I am.
Do you know what it means?
I do.
Can you explain it to us?
Senator, that is a chant that speaks of Palestinian desire for its homeland and a very expansive definition of its homeland at the expense of the independence of Israel.
Well, indeed. I mean, it calls for the elimination of Israel, does it not?
It does.
So my question to you is, should students who are here on a visa who gather and chant that slogan and actively advocate for the elimination of Israel and attacks on Jewish individuals, whether in the Middle East or here in the United States, as we're seeing on college campuses, should those students have their visas revoked?
Good question. And another part of that question, but it's not going to happen at the Poison Ivy League schools, should the school say your scholarship and your academic standards or testing or whatever you're dealing with here are done? You're out of our university. But they don't do that. We've already seen that from the testimony of three of the college presidents, Harvard being one of them, that, well, we don't know really that even violates our moral code. Now, there's another interesting point here. Moral code. The law is one thing. And the law generally is based upon pretty much the Ten Commandments when you get down to it. But there's some things in the Ten Commandments that are not actually statutory law. But there's that moral code that we either live and or die by or we ignore. So let's pick up again because Mayorkas has just been asked, what do you think about should we not, if they are out there chanting from the river to the sea, calling for the genocide of Jews and the destruction of Israel, should we not maybe revoke their visas?
Senator, I believe you are referencing a provision in the Immigration and Nationality Act about which you have written to me, and I am very familiar with your assertion that that statutory provision requires the revocation of their visas.
But should they have their visas revoked? I'm asking you.
We are assessing your legal assertion. It is a matter of legal interpretation of the statute.
Well, just as a moral matter, I mean, should students who are here, foreigners who are here in this country, accessing our university system and advocating for the killing of Jews, should they be allowed to stay here at our leisure?
Senator, it is a matter of law, and it requires a legal interpretation, and I am not in a position to provide that legal interpretation.
There you go again. Off the rails. Not going to give you an answer. It doesn't require a legal interpretation if he asks you morally, what do you think? That's where he's going to fall back into, well, the law, and I'm not qualified to discuss that in detail. It has to be argued out in court. No, if we're asking you a moral question, it's not a legal issue. It may be in some cases, depending on what the issue is, but Mayorkas continues to play the game. I want to ask you something. If Trump does not win, if Biden is reelected for four more years, whether or not he survives it, and I'm not wishing him ill health or anything, what's the state of our country in four more years with this kind of open border? I mean, how could we possibly stand this assault for four more years if we have leadership that is going to ignore it and look away and let illegals come in at their own choosing and will? And not only that, but set up special portals where they can pre-register to come in so they're checked in. They just have to report later for a court date that's 6-8+ years down the road. Aside from all those who are coming across with drugs, smuggled children, or whatever else. Where do we say that enough is enough? Democrat cities and mayors are saying it, and governors, but they don't have the spine to stand up and go to the White House and demand that he shut the border. And Biden doesn't have the spine because he's going to bow down to the squad and all those who say we're all about open borders because they want to be like communist China. Here's a PS for them. China has a border. You don't get in unless they allow you in. Coming up, how about Department of Defense contracts being awarded maybe on a little bribe? And then CNN and N admitting Trump will win? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers could help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let's go back to January 6th, but with fresh eyes and not necessarily biased eyes. The House GOP is launching a probe of January 6th. They announced it a couple of days ago, and I mentioned it briefly, but I want to spend a little time on it here before we wrap up the week. They want to go back and take a closer look at it, and in particular, the police response to the pipe bombs. There is a video that shows a man, hooded, masked, can't tell race, can't really tell it's even a man, but wearing slacks, dark gloves, pulling something, carrying something around. Now, whether he was the one who placed two pipe bombs, one at the RNC and one at the DNC, they don't have cameras that actually show it being done. We do know that one of the bombs was found at the DNC after Kamala Harris was there, and you would have thought they did a full search of the grounds and area before she arrived. And there it was under a bench. She didn't go past the bench, but she was still there. So we have now the Chairman Barry Loudermilk, Republican of Georgia, the House Administration Committee, is looking at what he called a dark day in U.S. history as they opened the hearings. That was last Tuesday. They want to look closer at the pipe bombs left outside, and he said, we still have many unanswered questions. And Speaker Mike Johnson said House Republicans intend to release a final report on January 6th, quote, to complete or to correct the incomplete narrative advanced by the release the Democrats put out. With newly released testimony and an 80-page report of initial findings, the House Administration Subcommittee outlining a roadmap ahead for the probe that includes revisiting key testimony from one of the White House aides, Cassidy Hutchinson. She was the one who claimed that Trump tried to grab the wheel of the beast and take control of the car from the Secret Service agents. Now, she did not see it. She was told it by someone else. And then she told someone, so it got scattered around it. And the agent who was driving the car said, never happened. Now, you could say, well, the agent's just saying that. You want to go, he said, she said, go ahead. But the bottom line is, I believe that did not happen. Because, first of all, the beast, as they call it, that large presidential limo, trying to get from the rear of that into the front seat to grab the steering wheel. Just try to imagine that. So we have a California congresswoman who is a ranking Democrat on this panel, also a former 911 dispatcher, and she questioned saying, what exactly is it we're doing here? Maybe it's to peddle crazy right-wing conspiracy theories about the January 6 pipe bombs spreading the dark corners of the Internet? Well, it's not just in the dark corners of the Internet. There were various communications going back and forth that day. Then now that some of them have been redacted, that for a while they thought they had more than two. Same thing that there were shots fired in the Capitol. Not a shot fired by a Capitol guard, but shots fired. Now, obviously, with confusion and chaos, we can understand that. But again, when Cassidy Hutchinson testified that Bobby Engel, the head of security, who was in the car with Trump, said he had to grab Trump's arm to keep him from gaining control of the vehicle. And then he used his free hand to lunge at Engel. A newly obtained transcript, the driver confirms the president was insistent on going to the Capitol. They got in the car after the rally. Trump was asking about going to the Capitol. Engel suggested they didn't. Trump kept pushing. The driver said his voice was raised. It did not seem to me like he was irate, certainly not. Certainly didn't seem as irritated or as agitated. The driver said the thing that sticks out most was why he kept asking why we couldn't go. But he said there was no altercation. He never reached the steering wheel. But that, of course, was ignored by the January 6th committee because it did not fit their narrative. Speaking of narratives, you know that the other day, as I told you, Governor Hochul, this was on Tuesday, the State of the Union address. She announced it that day, and I ran her in advance of the state. Actually, it's Thursday. She made the statement Wednesday. I ran it on Thursday saying, here's your State of the Union speech in advance of Biden making it Thursday night of last week. And that was Hochul saying, well, I'm going to send in the National Guard and additional police to keep our subways safe so people will feel safe on them. That's the State of the Union they don't want to talk about, nor the State of the Union the fact that we're being overrun, invaded by illegals, and many of them gang members, and many of them dealing drugs and our children. They don't want to talk about that State of the Union. They want to talk about everything that Joe Biden considers important. Starting with ice cream. But when Hochul announced that, she was adding those troops and the police to make passengers feel safe in the subway. The very next day, a man threw a woman into one of the trains and she had her feet chopped off. And then after that, there was a stabbing. And then just last night, I think it was, a man critically injured, being shot numerous times, while waiting on a platform at a Brooklyn subway station. Some video was taken of it of those on board. They weren't sure if the guy was going to try to come on board. They were hollering, shut the door, shut the door. They were all hunkered down, getting as low as they could. The gunman apparently never got on board. They don't have him. They're looking for a woman that they identified with him. Apparently, last report, they may or may not have him, but then they got to verify that. And she said, well, Hochul says, see, we did have police available. Yeah, but you can't stop all of it immediately. We understand that. We've had, just since January, I'm looking at two cases, two different men killed, five wounded. One of them involved a fight among teenagers on a train in the Bronx. The subway system is one of the things you want to experience or used to. Now, I'd suggest not. I know the first time I ever went to New York, yeah, we went. Got on the subway, see what it's like. It was dingy and dirty in some spaces. You had a lot of panhandlers, only they weren't aggressive. They might be just strumming a guitar with a guitar case open. You maybe throw them some change or something. But now it's just out of control. And you know it is if Hochul decides, I got to send in more police, and I've got to have maybe even National Guard troops search bags. There goes the Constitutional Amendment, by the way. You remember the outcry for the Democrats when Rudy Giuliani was pushing stop and frisk, trying to cut down on gun violence in New York City? And it did. It worked. It cut down a lot of it because they were making sure they didn't walk down New York City or down certainly down the main tourist areas because they might be just stopped and frisked. Now, that was being done upon an appearance. Racial profiling, terrorist profiling, just thinking the guy or woman doesn't look right, something's going on. But again, that's right into your violation of your Fourth Amendment. And people cried out about it on both sides. So it came to an end. And now Kathy Hochul has these National Guard and state troopers that she sent in searching bags of those going on board. Well, now that happens if you're going to travel on a plane. We know that already. They're going to search and scan your bags. Are they going to end up doing that? Will they have to do that for the subways? Another issue, you know that government contracts, be they city, county, state, or the Fed, they're supposed to be submitted for bids. Now, they don't always have to take the lowest, but they can take what they call the best. It might not be the lowest, but if it's the best overall. And, of course, it really does help if you have some inside help. And we're talking about, like in this case, the Department of Defense. What if someone is helping a company win the bid with the Department of Defense? Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley.
Early on, there were allegations that various Defense Department officials were helping the big corporation of Amazon behind the scenes to gain a contracting advantage. The allegations caused the Inspector General of the Department of Defense to review the matter. My oversight work started in 2019. My oversight has centered on conflicts of interest on the one hand, and on the other hand, the Inspector General's review. It's a good government oversight inquiry. And I know Amazon didn't end up getting this particular contract, but that doesn't matter to my oversight and what I'm telling you today. Even attempted efforts to steer a government contract need to be exposed.
And Senator Chuck Grassley began that a couple of years ago, along with Congresswoman Nancy Mace. And they're looking at potential and actual conflicts of interest and maybe bribery inside the Department of Defense. They were looking specifically at what was called the JEDI program. Basically, JEDI was going to take everything in the defense industry of the U.S. government, I should say, and place it in, quote, the cloud. Now, to transfer all that information to the cloud was going to be something like $10 billion. And as Chuck Grassley said, that's a lot of peaches to pick up if they're on the ground for you or low-hanging fruit. And Sally Donnelly, at that time in 2017, prior to joining the DOD, was a paid consultant for Amazon. And they did become a bidder for the JEDI program, unsuccessful, as well as Amazon business partner CS Capital. So Grassley and Mace were looking at all that, and he said, sometimes we have to look back at what we almost did. The project itself, the Jedi project, finally got booted out and just forgotten about. But there was a time that somebody was going to be able to get something like $10 billion if the Jedi program went ahead. But it ended up being stopped short. Grassley, to the Defense Department, had stated that cloud computing contract questions remain still unanswered, and we're going to continue to look for those questions to be answered and others. You got to keep in mind that if there's a way for somebody to make some money, they're probably going to try it. No one is charging the woman I identified a moment ago with any crime at this point. All we know is that 2 months into her tenure at DOD, she got a payment of $390,000 to pay off a balance for her firm that she would continue to receive while at DOD. She disclosed to the DOD when she entered the government service that she had gotten a payment from this capital group for the sale of her firm. She did not disclose the true purchaser or over the $1 million in remaining payments, but 2 months into DOD, she did get a second payment. Just business as usual, or was that to set things up? We give you $1 million in place of a $10 billion project. That's what it looks like, but there's no proof. The final report written by the Office of Inspector General said it, quote, found no evidence that she had an ongoing undisclosed financial relationship with CS or Amazon or its affiliates that would have required her to recuse herself from official duties with the DOD. But the project got killed. Grassley is saying, just because it's killed, we shouldn't look at the case. And he's going to continue. Here is something that might shake you up. CNN updating its electoral map of what they predict will happen. And the new CNN updated map shows that Donald Trump will win the 2024 election with 272 electoral votes. Now, you know CNN is not going to put that out there and make a big deal of it, but it reaches a point where maybe they can't really walk around it too much. I'm looking at a piece written, I believe, by Breitbart, pointing out this was a grudgingly move on CNN's decision. It began by labeling Arizona a toss-up state. The Real Clear Politics average poll of Arizona, Trump leads Hunter's dad by 5.2 points. The last time Joe Biden posted a lead in Arizona was 11 surveys ago, April last year. So Arizona would put Trump safely at 283 electoral votes. They point out the only other two swing states on the CNN map are Wisconsin and Pennsylvania that truly are swing states. The poll of polls has Trump up by 1 in Wisconsin, 0.6 in Pennsylvania. But Trump would not need those states to win if the rest fall in line. Imagine the guys at CNN said, boy, I'm looking at this. This doesn't look good. What are we going to do? Well, let's get out ahead of it. Let's put it out first so we can say, see, we're being journalists. Hey, you sell that all day long. Go ahead and try it. You're doing it because it might be reality and you're finally having to acknowledge reality versus the fiction you peddle and call it news. As always, my friends, I enjoy you and appreciate you listening. We'll be back Monday for you, 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday. And following us, of course, is now the Rob Carter Show. Have a great weekend. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.